Great. Open your Bibles back up to Psalm 23. We're going to look at the last couple of verses. Let's read the whole of the psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of right for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder, do you trust God? That might sound like an odd question, being where you are on a Saturday, but I think it's a question we all need to ask. Do I trust God? Do I trust God just when things are going well, or do I trust God when it feels like life is being flushed down the toilet? Do I trust that God is good when it's obvious that he's good because I'm surrounded by abundance? Do I trust that God is good when I've had a bad phone call or a bad diagnosis or a relationship implodes? Do I trust that God is steadfastly loving all the time, some of the time, or very little of the time? I wonder how you answer those questions. It's dead easy, isn't it, to go, yeah, I do trust God. Actually, do we? Verses 1 to 4, we've seen that David teaches Israel that God gives us what we need so we lack nothing. That means anything he doesn't give us, we don't need. That's the flip side of that, isn't it? He teaches them that God provides the necessities in times of peace, something actually I think we really easily forget to thank him for. You know, when everything's going well, we just forget, don't we? But also, God provides his presence when he leads us into times of darkness, when evil is present and threatening, when we feel the weight of it pressing down on us. When we were doing the kids earlier, one of the kids summarized the end of verse 4 of "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me," is God gives us wolf whackers. I thought that was great. God whacks the wolves. He deals with our enemies. Do you trust God like that? Where actually, whether things are going well or badly, you say confidently all the time, God is good. I trust God's love. See, David writes Psalm 23 not just for Israel to sing when things are going well, but for them to sing when things are going badly. To remind each other. To remind us that even when our prayers aren't answered, or when God says not yet, or when God says wait a bit longer, God is still our shepherd. We, like Israel, need to be sheep that learn we can trust the shepherd, no matter what. Now, I think that matters because we all imagine we know what tomorrow brings, don't we? I bet you're pretty confident what will happen tomorrow morning, except none of us went to bed last Friday night thinking there would be a war with Iran by the time we got up on Sunday morning. We are not in control of our lives. We're not. We don't know what an email might say, what a phone call might reveal, what a news bulletin might reshape. And the danger is that we respond to that just by getting our head down and pushing on. But let me say that makes us hopeless. Actually, this psalm is written to give us hope, even when we say, I haven't got a clue what's going on. Two things to see here. Here's the first one. Know the host. Look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Use your imagination. It's Monday morning and the post arrives. And in with the usual circulars about blinds and windows and pizzas are two invitations. They're both on good quality paper. They both have crests on the top left-hand corner of the envelope. You open the first one. The crest is there on the letterhead when you open it up. A golden M against a white background. As one of McDonald's 100 top customers of buying Big Macs in the country, you've been invited to a new launch of the new Big Mac on the last Saturday of the month. You might be quite excited about that. I hate Big Macs, so I wouldn't. You open the second envelope. Again, there's a crest at the top. It's a shield quartered with the emblems of England, Scotland, and Ireland, with a lion on one side and a unicorn on the other. It's the royal coat of arms. You've been invited to a state banquet at Buckingham Palace. But here's the problem. It's also on the last Saturday of the month. Which would you choose? McDonald's or a royal banquet? Now, just ignore the Republican in the corner. The quality of the feast would be markedly different, wouldn't it? So, you wouldn't go to the Big Mac launch and expect organic chicken ballotine and Cornish lobster, which is apparently part of what they served at the last state banquet. And you wouldn't go to the state banquet and expect a Big Mac, fries and milkshake. Now, that's one of the questions, well, one of the images that we've got going on in verse 5. Here we get a banquet. And who is the host? Who's the you of verse 5? Well, the you of verse 5, it is the Lord. It's how the psalm starts and ends. Did you notice that? David bookends this psalm with the character of God. So the first two words, the Lord is my shepherd. The last four words, the Lord forever. What's he saying? Everything in between depends upon knowing the Lord. And here, God is pictured as the host of a banquet. God is preparing a heavenly feast for his people. That's better than a steak banquet. That's better than anything you could possibly imagine. It will be a table that overflows with good things for his people. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God of plagues and Passover. This is the God who divided the Red Sea. This is the God who provides manna and water. This is the God who led his people into a land flowing with milk and honey. This is a God so powerful, he terrifies Jericho. So awesome that the peoples of Canaan melt before him. This is the God who keeps his covenant. This is the God who Deuteronomy tells us, to whom belong the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Can you imagine the sort of banquet he could lay on? Everything is his. Who makes an invitation matters? McDonald's, state banquet. It's not a difficult choice if you actually like food, is it? Okay, if you have any taste at all, Graham, it's not a difficult choice. Okay? So imagine that scale. The difference between Big Mac, fries and milkshake and a state banquet magnified a million to what God will provide as the host. And what does David need to do to get this? Did you see it in verse 5, what he needs to do? Absolutely nothing. God doesn't even say, but I need you to lay the table. God prepares. God gives. God lavishly blesses out of his abundance. And there's two things in particular that we have emphasized for us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. To go in and eat with someone in those days was to come under their protection. If you entered someone's house, they had to protect you. And notice who's there in the presence of my enemies. That's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? That maybe they're skulking in the background. Maybe actually given what we know of David's life and some of the betrayals he suffered, they are sat at the table with him. Because let's be honest, even God's people can sometimes behave in ways that make them seem like enemies. But David's safety is utterly assured because God is the host and God provides protection. His enemies can be there, but David is perfectly secure in that. And David is welcome at this table. That's what the next image in verse 5 talks of. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. They are both two pictures, not actually of abundance, but they're pictures of welcome. When a special guest came into your house who everything was right with, as a sign of honoring them, you would pour oil on their head. What's David saying? God pours oil on his head. God is saying, you've got nothing to fear from me. You are welcome. That's staggering, isn't it? When you think of some of the things David did. It's definitely not because of what he's done that he's welcome. And he talks about my cup overflows. God provides for him another sign of welcome. It's not just oil, it's a cup of wine, a cup of welcome, a cup of fellowship that he can enjoy. What's God saying to David? I've prepared the food and you're not an imposter. David, I've prepared the banquet, and no matter what your enemies whisper, and read some of the other psalms, sometimes people are whispering about David that God has forgotten him, that God doesn't care, that somehow he's lost God's favor. What does Psalm 23 verse 5 tell us? Actually, God's going to welcome him by anointing his head with oil and with a cup that overflows, signs of welcome and rescue and vindication that his enemies are wrong. Who hosts the feast matters. If God prepares the table, it will have more than we can imagine. If God provides protection, then we are safer than we have ever been. If God welcomes us and declares us right with him, then nothing can separate us from his love. Isn't verse 5 a beautiful verse? Turn in your Bible a minute for John 14. Because you may find yourself thinking, yeah, but that's David. David's a bit special. Yeah, he messes up, but he's a king. Go to John 14. Jesus in John 13 has just totally revolutionized the Passover for his disciples. Then he's told them that he's going to be betrayed and he's going to die. And then he's followed that up by telling them Peter, the kind of ringleader of the apostles and the disciples, is going to deny him three times. And so the disciples are sat there a little bit stunned at the end of the meal. They thought they knew what the future was going to look like. They thought they knew what Jesus' kingdom would look like. They thought they would be on thrones and they would be with him forever. And suddenly all of that is turned upside down. We read verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. That word troubled means in turmoil. It means stirred up. It means terrified about the future. But what does Jesus say to answer them? You believe in God, believe also in me. Isn't that interesting? He grounds their hope and confidence in the same thing the psalmist does. You know God, and you know me. You've got nothing to fear. And then he tells them that he goes to prepare a place for them. And then he'll come back and he'll get them. What's the image? See the link with Psalm 5? Jesus the host, coming to get his people to be with him and be welcomed and be vindicated and be eternally safe and secure. What's our confidence?